Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Well, before we do get started, I do want to remind you our listener support campaign continues, and you can support the campaign on a one-time basis at support.greatdetectives.net. You can also become a monthly Patreon supporter at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Among the thank you gifts we do have for the Patreon, at that $7.14 a month level, known as the Detective Sergeant level, you get access to the premium site, you get advanced access to the shows we're going to be recording for the week ahead, and you get one ebook every 6 months at your request. Full list of available levels is available at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, we had a couple of lost episodes after last week's show. Well, this week's show comes from June the 24th of 1951, and the title is Peter the Great, and let's go ahead and we will take a listen.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Tom Conway. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor, Tom Conway, as the Saint.
Hey, Mr. Templer.
Yes, Louis?
It's 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's right.
So for what are we driving out to the racetrack at this hour? You know, the first race don't go off till 1:30 in the afternoon.
A letter from a lady in distress, Louis.
Ah. And you, the Robin Hood of modern crime, are jitneying to the rescue. I might have known.
Louis, keep your mind on the road, please.
Yeah, sure. Hey, is she blonde and beautiful, or is she brunette and beautiful?
She's 15.
She's 15?
Going on 16.
Sounds like a dull case. Well, here's the track, Mr. Temple. Where should I park?
Drive over to the training track, Louis, over by the stable area.
Oh, sure. And say, if you happen to pick up any inside information, Mr. Temple, if you know what I mean.
Save your money, Louis. You cannot beat the horses.
Who wants to beat them? I'm fighting to hold even.
Let me out here, will you? I think I see my lady in distress.
Okay. I'll wait here, Mr. Templer.
Thanks, Louis. Morning, Annie.
Oh, good morning. Are you Simon Templer?
And you're Miss McIntyre. How do you do?
I knew you'd come. It wasn't logical that you should, and I know I shouldn't have asked you, but I knew you'd come.
That's the nicest thing anyone said to me all day, and it's almost 8 o'clock.
That's Dad over there with the watch. Pete's getting ready to work.
Pete?
That's our horse, Peter the Great.
Oh.
Vic's up on him.
And Vic is the boy you're worried about?
Yes. Please don't think I'm a silly, hysterical little girl, Mr. Templer, but Dad practically raised Vic. We grew up together.
And now?
Now I don't know him at all.
I see.
I called you because something terrible is going to happen.
Hey, Annie, and bring your friend over here. He's getting ready to break.
I'll tell you later, Mr. Templer. Come on. Dad, this is Mr. Templer. My father, Mr. Templer.
I'm glad to know you, Mr. McIntyre.
How are you, son? Looks good, doesn't he, Annie? Full of run over there. Told Vic not to let him out, though. An easy 3/8, that's all.
Getting the horse ready for a race?
Well, I might let him go any day now. Almost any day. Mm. If he's up to it. Oh, watch him. He's getting close to the pole. Watch him. There he goes. Annie, Vic's letting him out too much. I told him. I said to
him. He's got a tight hold, Dad. He's just breathing.
Well, maybe. Hold him, Vic boy. Hold him.
Looks like a beautiful animal, Mr. McIntyre.
Never guess he was 8 years old, would you? Should have been one of the top ones, Pete should. Maybe will be yet. Hold him, boy.
He's just breathing, Dad.
Well, maybe. Cut him.
How much did you run it in, Mr. McIntyre?
13.9 1/5. Don't think he's quite up to a race yet.
But you told Vic not to let him run, Dad. Pete was fighting for his head all the way down the stretch.
Maybe. Horseman, Mr. Templar?
A $2 better, Mr. McIntyre.
Greatest animal on the face of the earth, the thoroughbred horse. That includes humans, too. More heart, more brains, and much kinder to each other.
Yes, you may have a point. Has Peter the Great always been your horse?
Bred him, foaled him, raced him, and had him all his life. Outside of a couple of months a while back. If it hadn't been for a little leg trouble, Pete would be up there with the best. Oh, here he comes back. 39 1/5, Vic. You could have held him a little harder, though. Oh, Pete, steady boy.
Held him a little harder. I almost pulled both arms off holding him.
All right, Vic, all right. Easy, boy.
You think Pete's ready for a race, Vic?
What's the matter with you, Annie? Are you getting it, too? You know he's ready for a race. He's been ready for a month. And Dad knows it, too.
Well, maybe. We'll see. Steady, Pete.
See? What is there to see? The horse is 8 years old. What are you waiting for? A match race with Citation?
Vic, this is Mr. Templar. He's a friend of mine.
Hi.
And I thought...
How are you, Vic?
Dad, what is it? Every time I work the horse, it's hold him, hold him. Every time I tell you he's ready as he'll ever be, it's maybe. Let's wait and see. Is it me? Are you afraid you won't get an honest ride? Is that it?
Vic.
Well, is it?
You know better than that, son.
All right. When are you going to run him, then?
Well, we'll see how he cools out today. Maybe in a week or 10 days.
A week or 10 days?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Come on, Pete. Come on, boy.
Vic, you shouldn't have said that to Dad about an honest ride.
That's what he's thinking, isn't it? That's what you're all saying behind my back, isn't it? And what's Mr. Templar here for, to spy on me?
Vic!
Well, I'll save you the trouble, Mr. Templar. Right now, I'm going to get some sleep. After which, I get up, eat some crumbs that pass for a meal, get in the sweat box for as long as I can stand without it killing me, ride 5 races this afternoon, and after that, I've got a date.
Thanks for your assistance, Vic.
Don't mention it. See you later.
Vic, are you seeing her again?
Annie, you're a nice kid, but that's all you are. Just a kid. And who I see has got nothing to do with you. Understand?
Yes, Vic, I understand. Goodbye.
Annie.
Don't worry, Mr. Templar, I won't cry. I haven't cried since I was 6 years old. But, Mr. Templar, don't let him make Vic...
throw a race?
He wouldn't do anything dishonest. I know he wouldn't.
You love him very much, don't you?
I believe in him with all my heart.
Let's go, Louis.
What? Well, we're not staying for the races, Mr. Temple?
No, work to do.
Oh, too bad. I would have had 5 hours to figure out the first race.
You can spend 5 hours looking at a form sheet.
Oh, well, sure. Well, the trouble is, by then I can't see the horses.
Louis, where would I go to pick up whatever rumors might be flying around about horses and jockeys?
Oh, almost any barber shop. But if you want authentic rumors, I would drop in downtown on Honest Al, your friendly neighborhood bookie.
I thought Al was out of business due to a slight difficulty with the court of law.
Well, the technicalities of such things I don't follow all the ways, Mr. Temple, you understand? But the general principle I understand. It's like the song, there'll always be a bookie.
You know, you may be right. Hello, Al.
Simon Templar. A pleasure. Welcome to my humble cigar store.
How's business?
Haven't sold a cigar in months, but business is booming. How's things with you? No decline in crime, I hope.
No. Good. None whatever.
Just so we all keep busy. That's the big thing.
Al, what do you know about a horse owner and trainer named McIntyre?
Dad McIntyre? Mm-hmm. Anything you want to know. Owns Peter the Great, dog patch horse. Chestnut gelding, 8 years old. He's had a one-horse stable for years, has a daughter, 15, and raised Vic Borkowski, the jockey.
Vic always rides for him?
Nobody else has ridden Peter the Great for years.
Has anybody else ever owned the horse?
No. Oh, yeah. Some months ago, Big Ed Kleinman claimed him.
Claimed him?
Sure. Most cheap races are claiming races. You enter your horse for, say, $5,000, and if somebody puts in a claim for him, he owns the horse.
I see.
And nobody would ever claim Peter the Great, because they knew how Dad felt about him. But Big Ed did, and it almost broke Dad's heart.
How did Big Ed do with the horse?
He won a couple of races with him, but then his legs went bad, and finally Dad claimed him back again.
What about the jockey, Vic?
Saint. All sorts of rumors float around about jockeys. All the time, all sorts of rumors.
That's all you can tell me, Al?
Well, if a real big bet came in against a horse that Vic was riding, and Vic was on the favorite, I might be tempted to lay off the bet somewhere else. Nothing personal, just business.
I see. You don't know any particular girl who Vic has been seeing, do you?
Sure I do. Jocks live in a goldfish bowl. If one of them scratches his head with his left hand, 50 horse players spend the whole night trying to figure out what it means.
The girl?
A big blonde named Crystal Winters.
Mm-hmm.
Showgirl. Used to go with Ed Kleinman. She hangs out at the bandbox.
Thanks, Al. I'll be a character witness for you someday.
That's a deal. I hope you get him straightened out.
Get who straightened out?
The kid, Vic. He used to be a nice guy. Maybe he still is. Dad's a nice guy, too. And I always liked Annie. I even liked the horse.
Al.
Awful, isn't it? But don't let this get out, Saint. It would ruin me in the profession.
Good evening, Vic.
Huh? Oh. Hi.
Introduce your friend, Vic.
This is Mr. Templer, Crystal. Friend of Annie's. Miss Winters, Mr. Templer.
A pleasure, Miss Winters.
And have you got a first name, Mr. Templer, so that we can be old friends and then you can sit down and join us?
The first name is Simon, Crystal. And I'd love to join you if Vic doesn't object.
Object? This is what he's been waiting for all evening, isn't it, Vic?
Crystal, will you
knock off? Simon? Sit here next to me and have some champagne. Vic, you've let us run out of champagne again. Go get some more.
What do you think I am, a waiter?
Oh, no, you're a jockey. You're too short to be a waiter and too tall to be a midget, so you're a jockey.
You're getting tight, Crystal.
And you're getting the champagne. Goodbye, Vic.
Ow.
Goodbye, Vic.
Okay.
You're a little rough on the boy, aren't you, Crystal?
Sure.
Why?
Well, I could say it was to drive him away because I'm bad for him, but I'd be lying. If I wanted to drive him away, I'd have to be a lot rougher than that.
I can see why.
Thank you, Simon, but you can't. Little jockeys just happen to like big, expansive, expensive blondes. I found that out at an early age, which was quite some time ago.
And do you like little jockeys?
You're becoming very personal, Simon. I don't quite know what I like. I'll have to think about it. And I'm a slow thinker.
Do you like Big Ed Kleinman?
Why don't you ask him? He's standing right behind you.
Oh.
Who's your friend, Crystal?
Mr. Templer, Mr. Kleinman. Mr. Kleinman, Mr. Templer, Mr. Templer.
Shut up, Crystal. You a friend of Vic's, Templer?
Well, you might say that
Vic
I'm...
Vic hates him.
Just put me down as a patron of racing, Mr. Kleinman. I'm interested in improving the breed.
Yeah. Watched you move in on Vic, Templer. He's not big enough to object, but I am.
He didn't move in on Vic. He...
Shut up, Crystal. Leaving, Mr. Templer?
That seems to be the majority opinion. Good night, Crystal. Every moment has been golden.
You hear that, Ed? Can't you say something nice like that sometime instead of...
Shut up, Crystal.
A one-track mind. Hello, what is it?
Mr. Templer?
Who's this?
Aunt McIntyre, Mr. Templer. I'm terribly sorry to bother you, but...
What's wrong, Annie?
It's Dad. I can't find him. He never stays out this late, Mr. Templer. He's always out at the track early in the morning. And
what time is it?
4 a.m. I didn't want to wake you, but I've been sitting here all by myself wondering...
Stay right there, Annie. Most likely your dad will show up before I get there. But I'll be right out.
Thank you, Mr. Templer. Thank you. You don't think anything has happened to him?
No, Annie, I'll be right there.
Mr. Templer, he never did anything like this before.
Easy, Anne. When did he leave here, do you know?
I was here. It was around 9. Dad left to walk over to Pete's stall. He always does that just before he goes to bed. And then he just didn't come back.
Did you look for him?
Yes, I went over to the stables. I didn't see him in Pete's stall, and I asked a few people, but none of them had seen him. And I came back here. He was always in bed by 10, Mr. Templer, every night of his life.
All right, Annie, we'll find him. Did you call Vic?
He's living at a hotel. He just moved from living with us a month ago. I called him.
Is he in?
No.
All right. Don't worry, Annie. We'll find your dad. Let's go over to the stables.
All right, but I looked there.
Well, we'd better cover them again. Shh!
What is it?
Somebody coming.
Dad?
Hmm? Oh, Annie. What are you doing out this late? And Templar?
Hello, Al. Seen anything of Annie's dad?
No. Just came from a poker game with some of the boys, but we didn't see him.
Well, you know he never stayed out this late, Al. Never.
Sure, Annie, sure. You've been down to Pete's stall?
Annie looked there earlier. But we might check again.
It's right over here.
Easy, boy, easy.
Dad! He's not here, Mr. Temple.
I'll go in just to make sure. Wait here, Annie.
I'll come with you. Easy does it, Pete. Well, the old boy, he looks excited about something, saying.
Yes, I noticed. Well, it doesn't look as if... Al.
Yeah. Over in the corner. The dad?
I'm afraid so. Got a lighter?
Here.
Mark of a horseshoe. Must have killed him instantly. Keep Annie out, will you?
Sure.
Mr. Temple.
Wait a minute, dear.
Dad!
I'm sorry, Annie.
Oh, please. He's...
I'm afraid that he is, kid.
How, Al? How?
Well, Pete must
No!
Have...
Not Pete. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. He couldn't. I'll never believe Pete did it.
And maybe I won't either. Annie, I want to help you make some plans.
Plans, Mr. Templer? What's there for me to do? Just keep on going to school. I've got another year and keep on living here. I guess you'll keep on living at your hotel, Vic.
I think that's best, Annie.
Of course, you're right.
What about Peter the Great?
Pete?
Yes.
I know Vic thinks Dad wouldn't race him because he didn't trust Vic to ride him. But I don't believe that. So I've entered Peter the Great in the 6th race tomorrow. Will you ride him, Vic?
You trust me to give you an honest ride, Annie?
I trust you, yes.
Well, thanks, kid. Thanks, I'll ride him. I'll ride him for you. So long.
Did I do wrong, Mr. Templer?
If you like someone very much, then you have to trust them, Annie. You just have to. And that's never wrong. Hello, Al.
Well, hello, Mr. Templer. Here to place a little wager on Peter the Great for tomorrow?
Word gets around fast.
It's a scientific pastime, Mr. Templer. The players have to study out things well in advance. Helps them to lose their money.
Had any action yet on the race?
Definitely. Mr. Big Ed Kleinman placed a very substantial sum on 2 other horses in the race, which I promptly laid off with the connection I got out of town.
He's pretty sure Peter won't win.
He must know something. If he doesn't, he stands to go broke. Pete's picked in the consensus. He'll go off maybe even money.
Well, what could Big Ed know, Al?
What's there to know? You can't very well dope a horse these days. So what does that leave?
The man on the horse's back.
The monkey on the stick. You know the saying, Saint, never bet on anything with 2 legs.
That's a bitter comment on the human race, Al.
All I know is it's very hard to find a dishonest horse.
Well, Big Ed isn't throwing money around just on speculation, I suppose.
It's the size.
The what?
The size of the jocks. Mm. They're 5 foot men in the 6 foot world. They never get to eat a decent meal. They can't take a drink. Everybody else is trying to get big and strong, and the worst thing that can happen to them is they grow up to be normal. So if their ethics are not all they might be, well, it's...
Now, that's understandable.
A very good word.
You don't think Vic Borkowski will give Annie an honest ride tomorrow?
I'll tell you better this time tomorrow. How are you betting?
I'm not a better, Al. I'm only interested in improving the breed.
Hey, who do you like in the sixth, Mr. Templer?
Peter the Great, Louis.
Well, you liked him at even money?
I'll tell you after the race.
After the race. Uh-huh. Thanks very much, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Louis. It's just that I almost wish the race wasn't going to be run. I have a feeling something tragic is about to happen, and I don't know what I can do to stop it.
You know, I get that feeling every time I go to the window, the better horse.
A girl's life can be shattered at 15 and never quite be the same.
Well, you know, that's what they call a vulnerable age. Oh, here we are. You got any plan in mind, Mr. Templer?
I'm afraid it's too late to do much, Louis. Even if there was anything to be done. Just on a chance, I'm going to check the clubhouse bar.
Hey, you don't think you'll find your friend Annie in the bar?
Maybe another friend, Louis. Enjoying the races, Crystal?
Oh, Mr. Simon Templer. Sit down, Mr. Simon Templer.
Winning or losing?
It's a system. You divide the number of highballs you've had by five. Add three, and that's your horse. Never fail. Except when you've had enough highballs to make it work, you forget how many highballs you've had.
Mm. How many highballs does it take to forget this next race?
I'm trying to find out.
You know something about it, don't you, Crystal?
Sure I do. Why don't you ask me what?
I'll ask you.
Then I won't tell you.
Were you ever 15, Crystal?
Sure I was. At 15, I started to dance in a chorus line. At 16, I was married. 2 months later, I was back in the line. Was I ever 15?
Did you ever believe in someone so hard it hurt? And have him take your belief and throw it away?
You're talking about the kid. Annie and her jockey.
Yes. What's going to happen, Crystal? You know. Tell me.
That's the funny part. I don't. Nobody does.
And what's that supposed to mean? Either Vic throws the race or he doesn't. What else is there? Either Annie gets her heart broken or she doesn't. If it's an honest race, Pete should win easily.
All right, Boy Scout. I'll tell you. Why? Don't ask me why. Maybe a girl can be pushed around only so long. Maybe she can be pushed around all her life like a mop. Maybe she can have...
Crystal. There isn't much time. Tell me. You've got to tell me.
All right. There's nothing you can do anymore. You know my boyfriend at Kleinman?
Yeah.
Know how many kinds of a louse he is? He wouldn't bet on this race only because I was supposed to persuade poor little Vic to lose. He couldn't trust either of us that far. He's got another gimmick.
What?
You know, he owned Peter the Great a few months back.
Yes, I know. Claimed him from Dad McIntyre.
Well, poor old Pete broke down. So Ed nerved him.
He what?
He nerved him. Took out the nerve in his sore leg so he couldn't feel anything when he ran. Nice.
Oh, what happens to the horse?
Nothing. For a while. Ed won another race with him, then he let Dad claim him back. But after a while, the leg begins to die. And sooner or later, if you run the horse, one leg will cross in front of the other in a race.
Well, what happens to the jockey?
I don't know. If he's not trying to win, the horse might not even fall. But he's out front with the whole pack behind him.
Great dandy. Does Vic know about the horse's leg?
Nobody knows. Except me and Big Ed and now you.
But Dad knew, didn't he? That's why he wouldn't run the horse. Kept telling Vic to hold him back, even in a workout. It must have been nice for him knowing Pete had to die.
Money, 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 money.
The horses are nearing the starting gate.
And you can't do anything about it. Too late. Much too late.
Crystal, what happened the night Dad was killed?
I told you enough. I told you too much.
Did he come to the club that night looking for Kleinman? Did he?
He came there, that's all I know. I don't know anything more, that's all I know.
That's enough.
What's enough?
Race ready to go, Crystal. Are you? So you've been talking.
Ed, I didn't say anything about that. Honest, I didn't.
Shut up.
Too late, Kleinman. Way too late.
Hey, Mr. Temple, don't you want to see the race? They're in the gate.
Just a minute, Louis.
What?
I want you to hear this. Kleinman.
What?
Anyone that would kill a horse would have to figure on killing the horse's owner, too. Or get killed himself.
McIntyre got kicked by his own horse. Everybody knows that.
You expected Dad to show up when he found out you nerved his horse, and you were ready for him.
I never saw him.
He already knows you.
Shut up, Crystal.
An old trick, Kleinman. Tie a horseshoe on a baseball bat makes it look like a man's been kicked by a horse, doesn't it? Must have been quite a job getting Dad back to the stables. But then, you're a big man.
Such a big man.
Listen, Templar, this doesn't add up to anything. But you're just trying to make trouble for me. You know, if it's just a question of money...
Money,
you know...
money. Don't you know, honey? You haven't got that much money.
Oh, you shut up!
You know, Kleinman, I'm getting a little tired listening to you say shut up. Go for the track police, Louis, will you?
Oh, a pleasure, Mr. Temple.
Wait a minute.
That gun must be very heavy.
I'd like to use it on all of you.
But there isn't time, is there?
Well, just stay where you are. I'm getting out of here.
Hey, you want us to try and catch him, Mr. Temple?
No, he won't go far. Get the track police after him, Louis. I've got to find Annie.
And they're off. At the start, it's Speed Merchant breaking on top, followed by Count Favacci, Harbor Light, Quiz Me, Fleet Arlene, and Peter the Great.
Annie.
Mr. Templer, I've been looking for you.
How does it look?
Oh, he wants to run, Mr. Templer. He wants to run. Well, let him out, Vic. Let him out.
Peter the Great between horses. Harbor Light by one and Fleet Arlene.
Oh,
into the backstretch. Count Favacci is drawn out by two lengths. Speed Merchant by one. Moving up from the outside.
Now, Vic, now. Give him his head, Vic.
Harbor Light.
He can do it if you let him, Vic. He can do it if you let him.
Come on, into the far turn, it's still Count Favacci showing in front by one leg. Speed Merchant, with me. Now moving up very fast. And the outside is Peter the Great. He's second. He's going at the leader. Now it's Peter the Great in front by one leg.
Count Favacci,
Speed Merchant, third. With me.
He's riding him, Mr. Temple. He's letting him run.
And
turning for home, it's Peter the Great by four lengths. Oh. Speed Merchant is second by two. Whisby, Count Favacci, Fleet Arlene by a neck, and Harbor Light. Into the stretch, it's Peter the Great stretching out by six lengths.
They'll never catch him.
Speed Merchant is second by Harbor Light. Whisby, Fleet Arlene, and Peter the Great wins it going away.
Oh, Mr. Temple, he won!
Vic won! Yes, Annie, he...
There's trouble. Peter the Great is going down.
Vic! Templar?
He's going to be all right, Annie.
Oh.
He was thrown clear.
Well, I guess I better be going.
Wait a minute, Annie. He wants to see you.
He does?
As a matter of fact, he was very emphatic about it. Go on in and smile for him.
But what will I say? I mean, how will I act?
How do you feel?
Well, I don't feel like a kid anymore. You don't think he'll call me a kid again, do you, Mr. Templer?
I don't believe he will.
But how will I act?
Oh, don't worry, Annie. When the time comes, a girl always knows how to act.
You think that this is the time?
This is the time, Annie. Good luck to both of you.
You have been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here is our star, Tom Conway.
Ladies and gentlemen, in our cast you heard Janet Waldo's Annie and Jean Tatum as Crystal. Jack Moyles played Dad, Sam Edwards Vic, and Paul Richards Al. Paul Freeze was Big Ed. Louis is played by Larry Dobkin. This is Tom Conway inviting you to join us again next week at our new time for another exciting adventure of The Saint. Good night.
This script of The Saint was written by Dick Powell. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Saphir production and is directed by Helen Mack. Tom Conway is soon to be seen in Warner Brothers' production of Gold Diggers in Las Vegas. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer is Don Stammer.
It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Beginning next Sunday, July 1st, The Saint moves to a new time on most NBC stations. Yes, beginning next Sunday, you'll hear The Saint 30 minutes earlier at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Next Sunday at this hour, a new show joins your NBC lineup of top mystery programs. Martin Caine, Private Eye, starring Lloyd Nolan. And here he is, one of Hollywood's finest actors, Lloyd Nolan.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your invitation to join me as Martin Caine, Private Eye. My new role on this station beginning Sunday, July 1st.
Hear Lloyd Nolan as Martin Caine, Private Eye, at this same time beginning next Sunday. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series, oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. Well, some very good guest performances, and overall, I thought a very well-drawn story. The mystery wasn't so much, but the drama, I think, was pretty engaging. In terms of the guest cast, Janet Waldo, I don't know if we've had her on the program before, but Janet Waldo was best remembered during the golden age of radio for playing the lead on CBS's Meet Corliss Archer. She also starred in Young Love, which was a favorite of my wife and I's. We listened to all that's left of that particular series. It wasn't hugely popular, but we liked it. And she's most famously known as the voice of Judy Jetson, though she's had such a varied career, and she's one of the few radio actresses who is still living from the golden era in her mid-90s now. Now we turn to some listener comments and feedback. And Lori writes regarding the Children's Crusade, "I enjoy Tom Conway in just about everything. And this is not any different. In this episode, the storyline sounds so familiar. Do you know what other series use this same story?" I don't over radio. It may have been some television show. But if there was a plot like this that we've played, I've forgotten. That's certainly possible. We've done 1,600 plus episodes now. And so I could forget a storyline here or there. But I actually thought the Children's Crusade was pretty much an original plot to The Saint. But if any listener remembers otherwise, be sure and let me know and I will correct myself. Thanks so much, Lori. And then we have a question from Eli, who sends in an email. Says, "First, I want to say that I love the show. I've been a longtime fan of detective novels and film noir, but I never really realized how extensive the detective genre was explored through radio. I must admit I've come to prefer the purely audio experience of enjoying these stories, especially The Saint with Vincent Price, Philip Marlowe, and Pat Novak. I've taken to writing a script for a satire on the genre, and I'm very curious to learn more about the music that was used for these shows. Do you know anything about the sources of the soundtracks? Are these jazz standards appropriated for the radio stories, or were they specifically recorded? Do you happen to have a list of musicians or tracks? Is there somewhere to purchase a CD that is specifically the soundtrack to these shows? Any information would be very helpful and appreciated. Keep up the great work. It's wonderful to know that the world is populated with people dedicated to niche interests, especially when they overlap with my own. And do you ever listen to Garrison Keillor's Guy Noir Private Eye? It's a satire through back to the genre, but quite entertaining." Well, in answer to the question, it really varied. Most of the radio programs did use their own original theme music. Particularly, you'll hear ones that list a composer. The Saint used a version of the theme that, particularly the NBC version, really used one that was based on what had been in the film. There were a wide variety of different approaches. You'll have orchestral themes, organ themes, and on NBC, you probably saw, when you listen to NBC radio detective shows of the 1950s, they generally kept a different, like, overall theme music they would play. But when it came to the incidentals and the bridges, pretty much one detective show was the same as the other. It really got very standardized. Unfortunately, I am not aware of a CD having been made of the various types of themes. Though I did think about doing a special theme music episode. Might be interesting just to hear all the different programs we've done in their themes back to back, though many of them were quite short in terms of the overall theme music. I have not really a big listener to the Prairie Home Companion. I think I listened to one episode back in 2000, and then I've caught little bits of it on those few occasions I've been out and about. Though I haven't necessarily thought of it, I've heard the kind of radio drama routines going on there. But at any rate, good luck to you with your writing. Thanks so much for writing in. Do appreciate your kind words. Now, one other question I was asked, listener wanted to know how many episodes we have in the Tom Conway era. And while Tom Conway actually recorded 22 episodes of The Saint, only 6 of them are in existence. So that means we actually only have 3 more episodes of The Saint. So coming in 4 weeks, it's Michael Shane, Private Detective, with Wally Mayer. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with with Michael Shane, and this kind of returns to the listener support campaign, which you can support through support.greatdetectives.net. If you're in the U.S. or Canada, with a donation of $50 or more, I can, at your request, send you a copy of the Michael Shane Mysteries Volume 1, featuring 4 films, starring Lloyd Nolan, who you just heard recording the ad for Martin Caine. And that is with a donation of $50 or more, in addition to receiving 1 of 7 ebooks and access to the premium site. A full list of available thank you gifts are at support.greatdetectives.net. And remember, if you want to give on a monthly basis, just go to patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, that will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Ellery Queen. Next Monday, another episode of The Saint. In the meanwhile, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter @Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.